Welcome back to Forbidden Knowledge News. I'm your host, Chris Matthew. Tonight, my guest is Denny Hunt. Before I bring him on, I have to thank My Patriot Supply. They are the experts in emergency preparedness. We're at such a critical time in our modern history with a very unsure future, especially when it comes to the food supply, and it couldn't hurt to have an emergency supply. I have a four-week supply, and I feel a lot better. Right now, you can get $70 off a two-week and $100 off a four-week supply of their awesome food. It stays good in storage for up to 25 years. Visit preparewithfkn.com or click the link in the description to get your supply today. And please subscribe to Forbidden Knowledge News on lbry.com, which is our official backup channel. We also have a brand new show called Beyond Classified, which is on exclusively on Rockfin, is an amazing new uncensored platform for free-thinking content creators and independent media. You're going to find all the topics that are no longer allowed on YouTube on Rockfin. And finally, you can also now get tickets to Forbidden Knowledge NewsCon 2021, April 2nd, 3rd, and 4th, with 12 extraordinary presenters. Visit ForbiddenKnowledge.news to check out this year's awesome lineup and get your tickets today. All those links are in the description. Tonight, I want to welcome Denny Hunt. He was a chief engineer on an oceanographic research vessel and a sales application engineer for an airflow measurement instrument manufacturer for about 30 years, as well as a fine art painter of seascapes and a potato farmer. He is one of three owners of the website getwisdom.com. At this website, they share the work of Carl Mullison, who is a channeler and developed the healing modality called the Lightworker Healing Protocol. They have a database of answered questions, questions answered by God or Source Creator. Since Carl has been able to channel not only the departed people in the light, but also Source Creator. They also have a series of video interviews where Carl channels various people who have had an impact on human development, and many were involved in the cover-up of the ET interaction with humans for thousands of years. They have a radio show on Voice America and series of webinars for the Lightworker Healing Protocol students and for supporter members at getwisdom.com. Denny, welcome. How are you doing tonight?
Great. Thanks. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you so much for joining us. Looking forward to it. I've realized over the past few years the importance of spiritual growth, and I've had an amazing journey, starting with the creation of this show, leading to learning so much about the way the world really works, and that there's much more to this human experience than just waking up, going to school, going to work, getting married, having kids, coming home, watching sports, and then eventually dying. And, you know, that's what we're told is our life is supposed to be about. And, you know, ultimately it led me down to my own contact experience and this belief and knowing that I've been searching for. And many people don't ever get to that. And it, I think that's very sad for me because they're missing out on, I think, one of the most important aspects of our incarnation on this life is finding out who and what we really are and where we come from. But that for me didn't come until I was ready for it. I'd like to know what got you started down your path.
Oh, okay. Oh, well, it was in 1996, and I had the dream job. I worked as a chief engineer on an oceanographic research vessel, and I called it my golden handcuffs job. I had, you know, full benefits. I worked with a great group of people. I get to go out on my own ship. You know, we'd go out to the Monterey Canyon and do deep sea research with a remotely operated submarine. And so I did that for about 10 years. And getting towards the end of that 10-year period, I guess the way I describe it was like somebody poured cold water down my back. And I felt like God pushed my reset button. And I kind of had to go back and reevaluate some of the things that I had just believed, you know, from growing up. And you know, I was raised a Catholic, and I wasn't particularly religious or anything like that. But I think I was, the feeling I got at the time was that I hadn't really thought things through that carefully. And I felt like I needed to go back and do that and be a little bit more precise, a little bit more discerning. And so that was in 1996. And so I went through a whole series of investigations, changes. I did leave that job. the timing was kind of fortuitous because our benefactor passed away the following year, and things changed at the research institute where I worked. And my wife and I moved up to Mount Shasta, which a lot of people probably are familiar with. It's a kind of a spiritual center in Northern California. It's a huge, beautiful 14,000 foot mountain. And we lived up there in a beautiful home that was occupied or built by some people that used to use it as for UFO parties. And I wasn't much into the whole UFO thing at the time. But eventually I did read some books written by Ariella Louise Jones called The Telos Books, which talks about the ET influence on Earth, at least in that particular area around Mount Shasta. And so that was on top of a Christian background where I had gotten involved with the home church and the Christian Journal Society and the Christian Sovereignty Movement. But at that point, I think this is like around 2014, after my wife and I had moved back to Northern California, closer to San Francisco, and I started to consider the possibility that there was a much bigger story behind extraterrestrial influence on the development of humankind on Earth. And so I was very open to that. And I was also, I think initially with that experience in 1996, I had a kind of sense of foreboding, like there was something that needed to be done. Like all was not well in the world. And my purpose in being on Earth was more than just what you were saying earlier, you know, go get a good job, you know, raise a family, you know, get a good retirement, da 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 da. You know, there was something that wasn't enough. I knew that wasn't going to be enough for me. So I started to consider the whole UFO thing, and I had some transformations and some encounters ongoing during those years. I'd say between 2012 all the way up to like 2015, and one of the things that happened to me was I was starting in 2013. I was starting to notice what I would call, for lack of a better description, ascension pulses, or they were these periods of times coming about every month or so when I would feel just like I was crawling out of my skin. And I found a medical intuitive up in Canada who was actually able to predict these periods of times, and it was coinciding. He would give the dates on his website, and I tracked it for several months, and I found out that what I was feeling, someone else had verified it through their own work. He was a channeler and a medical medium. And so I actually did an interview with him later. But this experience for me, the only way I could tolerate it was to self-medicate with alcohol. And I knew that was the wrong answer. I mean, probably the right question, but the wrong answer. So I was going through a period of time when I was investigating healing modalities to help myself with this need to self-medicate with alcohol. And I'd spent quite a bit of money, spent quite a bit of time. And eventually I got a reading from a woman named Vidya, who's local, highly recommended. And she did a psychic reading. And she said, "Denny, you have an entity attachment, and that's what's fueling this desire to drink." And this is something I had never heard of before, an entity attachment. What the hell is that? I'd been to AA years ago because I knew I had a substance abuse issue in my life. And I learned a lot, and AA helped me. But at that point, I was firmly a believer that AA doesn't have the whole story when it comes to addictions. And what are the whole array of things that can happen to humans in this world? And entity attachments was a new one for me. And she said, "I don't do entity attachment removals, but I know someone who does." And so she gave me this guy's name. His name is Carl Mollison. He lives up in Chicago. And so I gave the guy a call, gave him a call immediately, because I felt like this is something new. I've never heard this before. And I just had this gut feeling like she was onto something that was probably correct in my case. And so I called him and he said, "Yeah, I can help you with that, entity attachments." And it's a remote healing procedure. He called the Lightworker Healing Protocol at the time. This is late 2015. And so he did the healing session on me. It was done remotely. It didn't need my participation or awareness. I didn't need to go lay down in the room or anything like that. And that settled it. There was no fireworks. There was no big aha moment. No gnashing of teeth or tears or anything. It just went away. And it really got my attention. You know, I thought, you know, this guy's onto something. You know, this is the real deal. Because up until that point, I had tried a lot of different modalities and spent quite a bit of money trying to figure out how I could solve this problem. And he at the time was becoming a pretty accomplished chandler, but his background was as a scientist from the pharmaceutical industry. And in the year 2000 or so, he had an epiphany, a spiritual awakening, if you will, and a realization that his work in the pharmaceutical industry really ultimately wasn't going to help anybody. And so he wanted to pursue a different healing method. And so he started looking into hypnotherapy. And he studied hypnotherapy. And during the course of that study, he found out he could channel. And at the time he was channeling, he was channeling archangels and his father, who was a minister. And it's very interesting because when he was a young man, he was very interested in science and his father was a minister. And so for Carl, his thing wasn't really the God thing, but his father was very patient with him, you know, and let Carl, you know, have his career in science. But at the time I met Carl, he was channeling his father, who, along with the archangels, was helping him with this, developing this healing modality that he had used on me. And so he definitely got my attention. And by this time, I had pretty much decided to leave my job. I was a sales application engineer for that airflow measurement instrument manufacturer. And because I knew I had a higher calling. I knew I had to do something other than what I was doing to fulfill my mission. I wasn't really clear exactly what that was. But one of the things that I got interested in, very intensely interested in, was these reports from people who had claimed they'd been abducted by ETs and were, for lack of a better term, abducted into the secret space program. And so I started to research this, and I read as much as I could. I watched a lot of videos. I read a lot of stuff on the internet, and I decided to start my own YouTube channel called Why Is This True? And so I started interviewing these people with the idea that they would just have a platform to tell their story without being put in the position of like, well, prove it. You know, don't you have any proof? You know, kind of like a putting them through the third degree in a video setting. I didn't want to do that. I just wanted them to be able to tell their story, their recollections or whatever, without feeling like they had to prove something. And because my experience with this had been a lot of people who tried to share this experience with their family, friends, and their coworkers, they'd be referred to a psychiatrist or something, and then they'd be given medication, or they would be evaluated as delusional, which I thought was unfair. You know, I didn't think that was, you know, that was the wrong way to approach this thing. So Carl, knowing that I had this YouTube channel, approached me several months later and said, I got an idea for your YouTube channel. Why Is This True? I will come on your channel and I will channel people who have departed and successfully transitioned to the light that were involved with the ET cover-up. And I thought, oh my gosh, this is a wonderful idea. You know, this is great. And he had already established his credibility with me through his healing work. And my other experience with channelers and whatnot was a lot more dubious because their focus was mostly on the channel. And so there's a lot, you know, intuitively I knew there was a lot of problems with that. So I kind of steered clear of that. But in Carl's case, I was a little bit more trusting of his approach because he was really using the channeling in service to the healing. He was putting the healing first, the channeling second. So I felt that was kind of from a moralistic perspective, I thought that was probably a better way to go. You know, the chances of his information being more reliable, I think, were higher, at least in my mind at that time. And so we started doing that. We started doing these channeling series, and it got pretty popular. From that, an attorney in Chicago approached us and we decided to start the Get Wisdom website and get the Lightworker Healing Protocol developed as a class so people could learn how to do it themselves rather than just paying someone else to do it.
Very cool. Now, the term lightworker for you and Carl and your other partner, what does it mean for you? Because I know the term has been kind of thrown around there the past few years, and a lot of people have no idea what a lightworker is, and it's been kind of distorted and manipulated. So for you guys, what is a lightworker?
Well, I agree with you. I think it's a term that should be defined, and I think that we probably at Get Wisdom, we define it differently than most people, and we don't expect everybody to agree with us. But I think probably the most salient feature of when we use that word is like we would say you have to actually do something rather than trying to manifest something, just using your own human energy to create something. You know, whether it's a better life for yourself, more money, better career, your own human energy to create healing for other people, we see that as kind of limited. So the lightworker for us means a partnership with the divine realm, and then knowing exactly what it is that's wrong with people so that you can make requests to the divine realm for the divine realm to do healing activity on behalf of your client or behalf of the person that you're praying for. So the Lightworker Healing Protocol is, you could probably accurately describe it as a high-level prayer request, where a lot of time has been devoted to figuring out what are the causal factors for someone's problems, whatever they are, you know, what caused the problems. Let's not worry so much about symptoms. Let's worry about healing the causal, the causes of the problems. Let's heal those things, and the symptoms will naturally take care of themselves. And so I think that for lightworker, it's an action word for us. It's like, okay, now you know something, take that knowledge and do something with it. And that's the beauty of the Lightworker Healing Protocol, we think, because it is a prayer. It is a request to the divine realm to do something. But it isn't something like where you put yourself at risk, like going out and demonstrating or, you know, trying to physically stop some kind of evil that's going on, where you put yourself or your family in danger. One of the aspects of the Lightworker Healing Protocol that we put a lot of emphasis in is protection for the person doing the prayer. Because you're asking the divine realm to heal evil, and even evil for the perpetrator. So we don't want to, like, for instance, in the old school of dealing with an entity attachment is that you would take the entity, remove it from the energy field, and then put it in a bottle somewhere, put it in some kind of energetic container so it can't hurt somebody else. And yet that's where that whole thing comes, genie in a bottle, you know, that phrase genie in a bottle, that's where that comes from. And that's not the way we work. The way we want to work is heal the perpetrator. If you want fewer victims, heal the perpetrator.
That's a very good answer. You're right. It is a lot different than a lot of people's explanation of a light worker, and it makes a lot more sense the way you put it. Very good. In your book, The Creator Speaks, that you co-wrote, and you just mentioned the divine realm and the creator or source. This is another thing that a lot of people, including myself, don't completely understand, what exactly the creator is and this divine realm. I guess, you can consider it a heavenly realm where these celestial beings kind of reside outside of our spectrum of vision. But, based on your research and Carl's and everything else, could you talk a little bit about what the creator is, who he is, and this divine realm that they reside in?
I'll do the best I can.
Okay.
And it's a big tent. You know, we try to develop Get Wisdom so that anyone, agnostics, atheists, and believers of all stripes could find common ground. We don't want to exclude, but we don't want to be naive about it either. What I usually start with is that, you know, I would ask somebody, did you create yourself? And most people, if they really ponder that question carefully, they'll say, no, I didn't. And I would say, well, God is what created you. That's what God is. And I think for me, that's always been the best starting point. And any conceptions or dogma that would follow on that would be peculiar to that person's faith or culture or predisposition of how they would want to interact with that question, the answers to that question for themselves. So in that regard, you know, it's not inaccurate to call God Allah. It's not inaccurate to call God Source Creator. It's an intelligent being that wants that, and a loving being, not a judgmental being. But God has created us the way I see it, the way I've learned, God has created us with the most precious gift that he could give to any of his intelligent creations, and that's free will.
Now,
so we have the ability to choose.
Now, when you say God, are you talking about, is it a singular celestial entity, or is it a combination of consciousness? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think it would be accurate in some ways to say both, but I think most, it's a creator being, you know, it's an intelligent personal being that created us and everything that's manifested in our reality. You know, it has a creator, the creation is a product of the creator. So I think even in the divine realm, there is a mysterious aspect to that. So like, for instance, if you died and you successfully transitioned to be back with the creator, just because you're back with the creator doesn't mean that you're going to have total understanding of the creator's position of things. But I can tell you that we've asked a lot of questions at Get Wisdom, where Carl's channeled creator, about questions about creator, and we've gotten a lot of answers to it. But for me, it always feels like kind of like, you know, dancing around the bush. We never really jump in the bush, because to have that experience directly maybe really isn't feasible in our earthly, you know, in our earthly incarnations here. Do we really have the faculties to understand something that probably is quite beyond words? And if you talk to a lot of people who've had like a near-death experience or have had some kind of spiritual experience, that's one of the things they will say, you know, words cannot do it justice. My experience with God transcends words. And I'm very respectful of that notion. I think, and I feel that way too. When I think about my encounters with God, mostly my reaction to it is silence, because it's so overwhelmingly beautiful. And it's about love. That's the currency of God, love.
Now, seeing that there is a divine realm, you would have to believe that there is the opposite, some sort of infernal or lower realm, and everything between. Is that the case, that they have several different type levels or layers?
That's been our unfortunate discovery. You know, the biblical story of the fallen angels is largely correct. That's been our discoveries with this. And I think the evidence for that is quite consistent, because if you look at human history, even the last 120 years, you see some things that, you know, would just have to be defined as evil. And what happened with Carl about the time that he decided to approach me about doing these video series is that he was working with his clients, and he had a website called tmarkangel.com, and he would do the LHP for his clients. And he would do, you know, psychic mediumship type work to investigate his clients so that he could develop better ways to help them heal. And what he was finding out at that time was there was a significant interference from extraterrestrials in his clients' lives, either through abduction or some type of spirit manipulation where these ETs were working with fallen angels, which we call interlopers or dark spirits. These are disincarnate angelic beings that are actually feeding off the energy of humans. And they use humans as, it's kind of like a host parasite relationship. And they actually work in concert with the ETs to manipulate humans. and where the earth is actually treated like a farming operation. And that's been going on for thousands of years. And that's what Carl was discovering through his client work. And concurrently, he was being told by the divine realm is that this needs to get to be more widely known, because we can do something about this. We're not just victims. And that's where the Lightwork Healing Protocol comes in, because the idea here is to heal our perpetrators.
Yeah, no, I've thought about that before, that, you know, what the possibility of, you know, it's usually either one or the other. The extraterrestrials, or there is spiritual demons or something controlling the planet. Never, no one ever puts these together, that extraterrestrials could be channeling these spirits for power and guidance, or whatever they're doing, whatever kind of relationship they have, which is a very interesting thought. And, you know, if these spirits do exist, of course, that if extraterrestrials are way more advanced than us, they'd have more access to communication, which would make more sense. So it's a very interesting thought that the extraterrestrials not only exist, but they cannot communicate. And I'm sure the good extraterrestrials, the ones of the light, also communicate with the divine realms. Am I correct?
Yeah. But you could look at Earth, and this is the other thing that we found through the work that we've done. You could look at planet Earth and the human experience on Earth as the ultimate free will experiment. So we call it the divine human free will experiment. So this is like, let's build some humans with animalistic type bodies, with needs, you know, with animalistic type needs and physicality. Let's put them on a pristine environment, and let's give them the ability to choose freely evil or good. And then, but our express purpose in developing these beings is to solve evil in the galaxy, in the universe.
Okay? You know, I've always had the thought that, you know, we could be some type of experiment. I mean, for me, it's kind of bothersome that I'm part of an experiment unknowingly, you know. But when I think about it, I guess it serves a greater purpose. But that part kind of irks me, that I'm unwillingly involved in some sort of grand experiment.
Yeah,
but
that's where I would disagree, because if you went back and you could experience your soul existence in the divine realm and your decision to incarnate as Christopher right now, you would find out that you were one of the Lightworker volunteers to come here and help us solve the problem of evil. And you were very
enthusiastic. So it does work off a voluntary basis.
Exactly. If you look at the information at Get Wisdom, what you'll find there is that every human on Earth right now is a Lightworker. Just like what you were saying earlier, is that a lot of people haven't woken up to anything beyond their kind of workaday world. It's because that is part of the human experience by virtue of the interlopers, the people, the ETs that came here and messed with humans at their second inception on Earth. This is our second try. The first one failed. That's what we learned. But we came here voluntarily to help solve this problem. And when we're born, we forget all our previous incarnations. We forget our soul life. We forget our... We can't experience our deep subconscious or our access to the Akashic records. And we also have a very poor, tenuous connection to our higher selves. So we're kind of debilitated in that way, but we're still very strongly connected to Creator, unlike our perpetrators. Our perpetrators are atheists, and they've been infected by these fallen angelics. And so they're just running on their technology and off whatever energy they can get from the divinely connected beings that they're feeding off of to exist. And so this is like a game for them. This is like a, if you could think of an evil sociopath, or just, there's another word besides psychopath. Yeah. If you could think about the most technologically advanced psychopath, that's who's running Earth. And no one wants to hear that, but that's what we found. But we also found that there's an answer to this. There's a solution. And I mean, that's one of the reasons I'm so excited to be involved with Get Wisdom, because I wouldn't want to really tell anybody any of this stuff if I didn't have an answer, if I didn't have something something positive to tell them that, you know, there's a way out of this.
Yeah, it's fascinating, especially when you look back at the ancient texts that describe the creation of humanity. You know, it's changed throughout the years. So you're saying that it's possible that these extraterrestrials did actually genetically kind of alter hominid beings in a combination with celestial DNA to form humans. Is that right?
Well, the story that we've learned through the channeling series, through the channeling work that Carl's done, is that there's four ET races that are running the show on Earth and have for thousands of years. The primary apex atheistic ET that would call the Earth their own are the Anunnaki, what we call the Anunnaki. And they are from the planet Nibiru. And they're a race of beings that are, I believe, 5 billion years old. And their average lifespan is 1 million years. And they have technology that's far beyond anything of our comprehension. And one of their fortes, besides genetic manipulation, is mind control. They're adept at mind control. And so what they did when they came back to Earth, they had already wiped out humans on Earth. I'm not sure how many millions of years ago, but they had wiped out the first attempt with humanity on Earth. They came back after the Divine Realm had deposited another population of humans on Earth, and we're going to try again. The Anunnaki came back. They said, oh, the humans are back. And so they genetically modified humans to disconnect them from their deep subconscious, not our subconscious, our deep subconscious. Those are two distinct things we learned. So we're separated from our deep subconscious. The deep subconscious is the part of our mind that has access to the Akashic records and would have a very clear memory of all of our incarnations. And it also genetically weakened our connection to our higher self. So in that debilitated state, genetically, we were easier to control. And then they did breed with some humans, as the Bible talks about, to create like a master race of humans that we might call, you know, some people call it the Khazarian Mafia, the Cabal, the Illuminati, the ruling elite, the 13 families. There's all these different terms, you know, the Bilderberger group, whatever, Club of Rome, Committee of 300, whatever. There's a group of humans that are working with the Anunnaki and these other ET races.
Like a hive mind Earth. Group.
You could say that, but it's a tenuous alliance between the Anunnaki, the reptilians, the Arcturians, which most people will know as the Nordics, and then the creation of the Arcturians, the robotic race, which is a biological robot, basically. And this biological robot is that little gray alien with the black almond-shaped eyes that everybody sees the imagery of. And they're the ones that are very interested in human DNA because they want to have our mojo. They know we reincarnate and they think it's a phenomenon of DNA. So the grays are feverishly trying to figure out the DNA puzzle of humans because they want to have that ability to reincarnate.
Now, you mentioned the secret space program.
Right.
What are your thoughts about this? Do you think that there is a full-scale secret space program where our government is working with ETs and launching things, possibly the moon, Mars, and beyond, where we actually have technology to leave the planet, or is it something different than that?
Well, it's different. It's the same and it's different. We call it the Mercenary Army Program. That's a terminology given to us through the channeling work that Carl's done. So Carl channels creator, we ask about the secret space program. And in one of the channelings, we were told that a more accurate term for what we are calling the secret space program is actually what the divine realm would call a mercenary army program. So this is another area where there's intense levels of mind control going on because they want to, they're in the process right now of winding down again this experiment that they are peripheral to. You know, they're watching these humans again flourishing on Earth, the population up around 7 billion, which is something that they didn't really want as far as we know. And we're a lot of work for them as an outstation, as a feeding station, as a minerally rich outpost where they've already harvested most of the gold. We're becoming kind of a pain in the ass for them. And it creates a lot of resources to keep a lid on what they're doing here, because they have to devote a lot of energy to the mind control aspect to keep the secret, you know? And repeat your question, because I think I ventured away from your specific question there. I want to get back to that.
Well, I was just asking about the different races that were involved with humans.
And the SSP.
Yes, in the secret space program, yeah.
So one of the things that the ETs like to do is, if they're going to manipulate humans and they're going to wind up the experiment, and in other words, annihilate humans, they don't want to do the dirty work. They want to have the humans do it for them. And that's what the MAP is all about. So the MAP is basically a secret army of mind-controlled humans and clones that will basically be in a mop-up operation once they wipe out humanity.
Now, is that what's going on with the abduction and hybridization programs that you hear about from certain abductees, where they'll go on ship and meet like children? And
environmental
like that?
Degradation and the fertility problem that's happening worldwide right now. The fertility rate of humans is plummeting. The autism rates are skyrocketing. The infectious diseases are going up. We've got COVID going now. That's an ET-created virus. That's what we found out. It's being distributed. It had a very odd distribution program. If you remember this time last year, it was popping up in disparate places all over the world. It wasn't really following any kind of human interaction. Like if you look at a disease, an infectious disease, and the way it grows in normal populations, it's gonna pop up in a certain geographical area, and then it will start to spread. Well, that's not how COVID-19 came up. It blossomed in several areas simultaneously. China, Italy, you know, and in some places it was hardly noticed at all. Brazil still doesn't have a lockdown. So there's we call it the death of a thousand cuts. There's all these things going on right now where humanity's at the wrong end of things right now. They're being decimated. You know, you started off your show talking about how tenuous our food production system is. Our food system is in terrible shape right now. You can't really buy or consume nutritious food anymore. It's really hard to do that, to get good nutritious food. So we call it the death of a thousand cuts. You know, there's environmental things that we've got, the chemtrails.
Well, and they're in control of the media too, and have been since the dawning of the media. So that's their main brainwashing tool and an indoctrination. And now we have social media, which of course everybody in the younger generation is really plugged into. But since you mentioned what's going on now, this is like, I think this is the end game, the beginning of, you know, something.
Right. I would agree with that.
A new age, basically. Where we have more than half the population, I think, is kind of waking up and coming around and seeing what's going on behind the scenes and, you know, not happy with it, wanting to make changes. And then there's the other half that's still asleep, and these controllers are trying to keep them asleep at all, you know, by all means necessary. But I don't think it's working. I think that this awakening has a greater power. Do you think with this jab, this Frankenstein jab that they've came up with? Now, I've seen Bill Gates's TED talk about the God gene and trying to extinguish it. You know, that terrifies the crap out of me. What if that's what they're doing with this thing? You know, do you think that has something to do with it? They're trying to extinguish our spirituality?
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you're going to wipe out 7 billion divinely connected humans, even though they don't look it that way, they look at us as like, okay, well, there's these animals that we don't care about, and we'd squish them under our foot if we could, but they got some mojo. there's something about these humans that when we try to wipe them out, they keep popping up. They keep surviving, you know. And when I talk about that, I'm talking about the big, if you've ever heard of the word democide. Okay. So democide is a word coined by R.J. Rummel. And he wrote a landmark book called Death by Government, where he documents all of the deaths in the last 120 years perpetrated by people's own governments, basically. So you're talking about 167 million people killed by their own governments in the last 120 years. If you take your average human would never want to do anything like that. That's like right. ridiculous. That's like, why would you, you know, it's suicidal. But nonetheless, we have people like Pol Pot, Hitler, Stalin. Stalin used to sit in his office and make lists of people every day. He would sit and make lists of people and then give them out to his deputies, and they would have to fulfill these quotas for the gulags, for murdering their own people. Somewhere upwards of 60 million people of their own people in Russia from 1920 up until, I guess, the early 1980s. That's insane.
It is.
But we've never had a very rational explanation for this kind of activity. And I would contend it's not really human derived.
You're right, because the average
really
human
evil, yeah.
that I know wouldn't do things like this. You know,
no.
I find it impossible to put myself in these people's shoes.
Yeah.
They're, like you said, a psychopath, and most people aren't. So what's wrong with these people? Like you said, you know, they could be part of this bloodline that's tainted.
So I bring that up because I think that's probably the most in-your-face kind of evidence of why we say what we say is true. There is some kind of manipulation going on here that is very evil, very powerful, and very persistent, because you see this cropping up throughout history. I mean, if you go back to Genghis Khan, that's another example where just wholesale slaughter that went on. You know, he was able to recruit this huge army and go through Asia and Eastern Europe and wipe out, you know, by some accounts, millions of people. And that was many, 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 many years ago, you know. It, you know, that probably wasn't that accurately recorded in the stories that came down. But there's a lot, all this death and destruction under the hand of government, and in some cases under the hand of religion. So, you know, there's a reason for that. I'm not a proponent of history by accident. You know, if anything happens big in history, it's usually because it's planned, it's well-funded, and somebody was pulling the strings to make that happen, you know. I think world wars are probably the best example.
Right. Yeah, we've definitely been manipulated by these factions our entire lives. And, you know, do you see that we're going to come out ahead on this one? Because right now, a lot of people are losing hope. You know, they had the false hope of the QAnon movement and all this Trump stuff. And now people are like kind of lost. They're like, oh, well, I was following this and they told me everything's going to be okay. Trust the plan. Don't do anything. But the whole time I was kind of saying the opposite to people. You got to stand up. You got to actually take your own sovereignty back. You have to start improving your own life and situation. And this other group was kind of saying, nah, just sit back. We're going to take care of everything. And, you know, these false hope gurus, I think, were a huge problem last year in just making people complacent, you know?
Yeah. And I think that is the main goal of mind control, is to create a sense of complacency and to feed this idea that's been implanted in our psyche from a long time ago, savior programming. We call it savior programming. You know, like someone's going to come along and clean up your mess for you. And that's not what the free will experiment's about. The ace up our sleeve is the divine realm. That's the ace up our sleeve. But the divine God and creator, God, creator, Allah, whatever, they're not going to help us if we don't ask.
So I'm so glad you just said that, because you said the ace up our sleeve. Yes, that's the message I got. First, you have to be ready. You have to ask for it. And the main messages that I got through all of my few contact experiences was that there's a force that's trying to extinguish love and empathy on the planet, and that we have to know that this divine realm is there to help us personally, and we have a connection to that that we can access at any time. And like how you said, it's our ace in a hole. It's our most powerful weapon, and we just have to realize that they're there for us.
Right. So, you know, maybe this loss of confidence, this kind of deflated feeling as a result of things not going the way people thought they might go. And it doesn't matter what your political persuasion is. You know, the fact is things are not getting better on Earth. They're not, they're getting worse. But once you realize that, and once you think that, well, you know, politics is not the answer, our connection to our divinity, our connection to God is what is going to rule the day eventually. But it's an empowerment of our own activity, and it starts with prayer. My personal opinion is that once we get enough people doing the Lightworker Healing Protocol or praying in some intelligent way. So, and when I say that, I mean, we have to understand what the problem is. If you don't know what the problem is, how can you fix it? How can you expect to apply a solution if you don't know what's wrong? And say, you know, you're driving down the car and all of a sudden your car stops going, and you're going to get out of the car and you're going to try to fix it. Well, first you got to know what's wrong with the car. Otherwise, you don't know where to look. Is it a flat tire? Did you run out of oil? Did you run out of gas? You know, those kind of like plain Jane common sense things applies in the spiritual realm as well. So we can go back to the example I gave earlier. It's like, well, there's Denny. He wants to drink. He feels agitated and he wants to drink alcohol. What's the problem? Well, Denny never knew that he had an entity attachment. So once I found out what the problem was, then I could figure out how to fix it. So we're in the same boat. We don't know that we have dark ET parasites attached to our energy field. And we don't know that there's a cohort of aliens that are in the background manipulating humanity. But once we realize that that's the problem, the divine realm will come to our aid if we're intelligent about what we ask for. And that's what the Lightworker Healing Protocol is. It's about all of those facts taken into consideration and asked in the best way, the most efficient way to do it. It's not a time-bound healing modality. So, you know, Carl's really done his homework. In addition to our practitioners, people who've learned the Lightworker Healing Protocol, they'll do the protocol and they'll go, well, wait a minute, maybe there's something that we could change right over here that would make it more effective. And so they'd send an email to Carl, and Carl would check with Creator. Sure enough, that would make it more powerful. So we would incorporate those changes into the Lightworker Link Protocol. That's been going on for 2 years now. We've been incrementally improving the Lightworker Link Protocol until the point now where it's become a very powerful prayer.
Now, earlier you mentioned that, you know, a lot of alcoholism and depression and drug abuse is more than just that it involves entity attachments. And I've thought the same thing myself, that, you know, these people that can't get out of the alcohol abuse or drug abuse keep repeating the same cycles and just keep hurting others, even though, you know, they know it's wrong. They don't want to be that way, but they can't break out of the cycle. Right. So would you think that a lot more people have these attachments than would you?
Yeah, the average person's got 7 entity attachments. And the reason it's 7 is because we have the 7 chakras. So they like to attach to those energy centers. So sex addiction, that chakra, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You know, so we find, and one of the unfortunate things is that usually when you're a child is when these entities will show up and attach. So you never really grow into a sense of things being abnormal, because they've always been there since you were a kid. And it's just like having a leech on your body. But if you're little and you always look down your leg and you always seen that black thing there on your leg, you're never going to notice that it's an abnormality. That's just part of me. And that's how people end up treating it. And
I was going to say, what should people do if, you know, you say most people do have entities? How do we get rid of these?
The Lightworker Healing Protocol, prayer.
Well, could you tell us a little bit about, you know, before we get too late into the show, tell us about the protocol. What does it involve?
Okay, it's a high-level prayer request. It's kind of like a guided meditation. There's a lot of emphasis on prayer, on protection in the prayer itself. And the reason for that is that you're messing with other beings, other entities who want you as a host for their food source. Okay, so they're not going to take kindly to you asking, you know, Big Brother, God, to pluck these things off of you and send them to the light. So protection is a big feature of this. And that's when I said ace up our sleeve, that's a big feature of this whole process of prayers, because protection is something that's guaranteed in the protocol. So you're doing a high level prayer request and you're getting rid of powerful entities that want to control you and manipulate you and make your life worse. And you're asking the divine realm that, you know, you're saying, you know, God, I know about this thing and I want you to take care of it for me or for my client. So it's a whole series of requests based on these kinds of knowledge, this kind of knowledge. The other thing that we're very aware of that we know is problems for humans is their karma. All of us have a karmic legacy. The average person on Earth has had over 400 incarnations on the planet as a human. And we've never really had a good opportunity to heal all the things that have been done to us and the things that we've done to ourselves. So we're carrying around all this bag, this karmic baggage that has never really been healed. And so here we are 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 years later, 400 lives later, with all the karmic baggage that has been accumulated over those lifetimes. So that's another thing that could be healed. It's not as healed as quickly as like something like an entity attachment, but it is something that could be healed because we know it is a problem for humans. So we can start on that road of repairing that damage from the karma. And a lot of it has to do with forgiveness. And so when we do the healing, we're not just healing the victim. So if there's something that happened in the karmic legacy where you had a perpetrator, part of that part of the light work healing protocol is also to ask for healing for the perpetrator. So everyone gets raised up. No one's left behind. Everyone is included in the healing.
So the entity, actually, you heal the entity, you would say. That's very interesting.
If you want fewer victims, heal the perpetrators.
Now, do you think that meditation is another important aspect to kind of accessing the divine realm?
If it's done with protection. Like one of the things that we recommend is the protection prayer. If you like to meditate, this is a real short prayer. Source creator, be my partner in my life each and every day to keep me safe. Guide, heal, support, and protect against all who oppose bringing forth the truth of the divine. Say that prayer every time before you meditate to be safe. Because when you go off into the intuitive world, that's the devil's playground, for lack of a better term. That's where these entities reside. And if they see somebody poking their head up and going, looking around for an intuitive connection, they're going to come up and they're going to introduce themselves as a friend. That's the game they play, especially with channelers, especially with psychic mediums, and anybody who's trying to make an intuitive connection. That's their playground. They look for humans looking outside the normal workaday conscious world. If you're going to the intuitive realms, they know that's where they're most vulnerable, because if somebody with a good intuitive connection could see them, see what their motivations are, see what they want. So they want to cut that off at the beginning. And that's why we have a problem with so many false channelers talking about sweetness and light. And they're never going to tell you about the Dark ET Alliance. They're not going to tell you about the Secret Space Program. One of the reasons is because no one's asking.
Now, for closing out the show, I thought you could talk a little bit about the book Creator Speaks, 10 Divine Principles for Living. In the book, you give information about to update the Ten Commandments. Could you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. I think it was something Carl wanted to do. I think for encouragement and to kind of demonstrate how some of these principles are universal. So let me see if I can, here it is. They're not that, let me go ahead and read them just so people know what we're talking about. Okay. So number one is uplift the self with no harm to others. Number two is uplift others with no harm to the self. Number three is honor the responsibility to family and to friends for the exchange of love and fulfill commitments. Number four, be honest in all transactions as a way of honoring the soul of the other party and one's own soul and its integrity. Number five, share what you gain from your efforts with others. And let me start that over. Number five, share what you gain from others. Share what you gain from your efforts with others in need in a balanced way to not harm the self or loved ones who rightfully have priority. Number six, share love in everything you do and be open for opportunities to give your love to others in as many ways as you can through acts of kindness, giving, thanks, being respectful, offering encouragement, and showing appreciation and gratitude for what you receive from others as well. Number seven, safeguard your soul to nurture its learning and growth, not at the expense of others, but to meet your responsibility to be your soul's guardian and take care of its safety and protection from harm. Number eight, aid all others with their learning and growth, to understand their need for this as a birthright and an important part of life. And understand this does not represent the actions of an enemy, but fellow humans in need, and not meant to take away from you getting your share. In a world of love, there's room for all. This is both a challenge and an opportunity. Number nine, healing and repair is the highest of priorities for the self, as no one else can see to this. It must come from within each person as a desire and a commitment to make the investment to guarantee a happy future. And number 10 is the last one, and this is my favorite one. Honor the need of others to have healing and to see their plight, in part as your responsibility and obligation as a fellow human. So you are sympathetic and supportive and understanding of the importance for them to have a pathway to healing in order to make up for losses and wounds to their soul, as all will be harmed when one suffers. You are in this together and share the responsibility for one another. No one is safe until all are safe. This is the true and quite profound meaning of the unity of the human family. You can make this a practice because it is not only an idea, but a reality. So that's the 10 divine principles. So that's very much in the spirit of all these books that we've written. Because obviously, you know, a lot of what we're sharing here is kind of dark information, you know, annihilating humans and, you know, four evil, you know, ET races controlling the earth. And there are benevolent ETs, but they respect the free will principle. So they're not going to come in and be our saviors or even give us too much guidance unless we're asking for it.
I see. Now, what's the best advice you can give people before heading out if they do want to, you know, look more into your books and get into the protocols? What's the best way that they can do so?
Well, just go to getwisdom.com, and we have three areas there: enlightenment, hidden knowledge, and healing. I think, you know, healing, everybody needs healing. So that's where I would go first and just check it out. See what you see there. There's other places on the internet where you could look and get an idea about Carl. I think there's some older interviews still on YouTube where people have given testimonials about his work. I'm a big fan of judge them by their fruits, you know, not so much what they say, but what happens after what they say, you know, and how are they influencing other people's lives? You know, I personally, I'm very biased because, you know, in my estimation, Carl's work saved my life, you know, through his lightwork healing protocol. And I was very happy to help him make this into an online course. But that's the cool thing about this is that, you know, you can go to our website and you can get healing. You can get a healing session done. We'll do it for you. But I would recommend learning it, how to do yourself. If you can read a 160-page manual, understand what you're reading, and have the patience to sit down to do the protocol, which is just, it's like a guided meditation. It's not any more complex than that. You don't need to be intuitive. You don't need to be psychic. It's a pretty straightforward modality that anyone can do and see the results of rather quickly. The earlier versions of the LHP, we separated it into four categories: personal healing, spirit rescues, companion animals, and location clearings. But now the one protocol covers all four of those things. And we have a protocol that is designed for people who do get intuitive feedback. So if you are psychic, if you're clairvoyant, clairsentient, clairaudient, and you have those skills, we have a version of the LHP that's designed for those people with those skills. But two-thirds of us don't get feedback. We can just do the meditation, the prayer work, and we can be very effective. And the only thing that influences the efficacy of the Lightworker Healing Protocol is your belief quotient, understanding what you're asking for, and your ability to maintain that connection between the divine realm and your client. That's it. Those are the only two things that influence the efficacy. Nowhere in there is your psychic ability a part of whether you're going to be good at it or not.
Very cool. All right, everyone, go check that out, getwisdom.com. Denny, I want to thank you so much again for coming on tonight. There's so much more we can discuss, so I'd love to have you back on in the future.
Oh, I would really enjoy that, and I really appreciate you. Your interview style is great. So I wish you success. You have a really great show.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that. And everyone else, until next time, you have a great evening.